All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 this evening. This is more of a lesson here tonight. I taught this exactly. I was surprised when it popped up, as it's been a year. I said last year I'll be teaching this every year, and it's been just about exactly 1 year since I've done this. And this is going to be a lesson. I think it's very important, so I'm going to do it once a year, on forming good habits, on being a faithful steward with what God has given you, with what God has given you to do. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me get there myself. I did have something neat happen after church. It was put a smile on my face. When service had ended, I checked my phone, and I had a text from Pastor Nance, Carrie Nance in Southside, just preached, of course, our family camp this year. Is up every 2 years. I have him up, and as you know, I'm good friends with him. And so him, Amy, and Avery, they're on vacation right now. I didn't know that. He texted and said, hey, we are on vacation right now. And he goes, we walked into a church, and I was shocked to see who the preacher was that day, and it was Levi. They're in Ireland on vacation right now, and happened to show up at the church that my son Levi was preaching at. And then Levi, of course, texted onto the family text and brought it up. And like I guessed, he said it was maybe I was on the phone call afterwards. I can't remember which one he had said it now. But he did say, it's the most nervous I've ever been preaching when Brother Nance walked in and sat down. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 here this evening, verse number 2. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you. Lord, I ask for your blessing upon this tonight, Lord, as we teach this, as we look at different portions in your word. Lord, I pray that you would use this to make a difference in lives. Lord, that you would use this as foundational to actually leading to good habits in our lives, faithful in what you have called us to do, faithful in what you have required us to do. And Lord, so please guide in this and direct. And I pray, Lord, help me to teach this effectively here this evening. Lord, I love you and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if I was to ask the question right here, let me start off this way with this. If we were to come up and you weren't going to lie, you're going to just tell the straight up truth, and I was to ask, we're going to see how many of you in this last seven days, how many of you have been faithful to your Bible and prayer time? Didn't miss a day. All 7 days that it was in place and that you did it. Okay? I wonder what the percentage would be. Okay? And by the way, let me say this with the habit, just by way of, I want to say this, you know, and most of this I speak from experience where I have messed up in my life, all right? And when I first was getting into the Bible, knew how to be faithful to it, I didn't have too much of a problem getting that to be a habit. That really wasn't. Where some of the danger that came in for me, let me throw this out here now because this isn't part of the lesson here tonight. Make no mistake, though, when it comes to things like coming to church and your Bible and prayer time, it's not just doing it that makes the difference. It's not. We've got to get that part down first. Make no mistake about it. Many people fail and they're too sporadic at it. It just doesn't happen. But when it is all of a sudden a habit for you, make no mistake, it's still going to get attacked. You have to make sure that it's effective, that you're not just checking a box, as I put it. You're not just going through the motions when you do it, because it's doing you nothing at that point in time. You have to approach it from the right aspect of it's God's word. You're seeking to get grounded to truth, to change your life. When you're praying, you're actually talking to the Creator. You're not going through just vain repetition when you get on your knees and pray before God. You make it genuine. You make it real in your life. But for this purpose of this is to get where the bulk of us fail at this. And that is, it's just too sporadic. We're just not faithful with the things God has required of us to do. And that could be in many ways in our life spiritually, that is true. Maybe not just with Bible, not maybe just with prayer. Maybe other things the Lord has required of you, but you just lack faithfulness. But we know it's required in a steward that we are to be found faithful. We are creatures of habit. Make no mistake about it. We are what our habits are. That's who you are as a person. Whatever your habits are, that's who you are. If you have bad habits, and you will struggle in a lot of areas. Whether if you have bad habits health-wise, the day's coming, you're going to have bad health. If you have bad habits financially, make no mistake it, you're going to struggle financially. If you have bad habits spiritually, make no mistake, you will struggle spiritually. There isn't it's not a magic potion, it's not boom, you're super Christian, there's discipline involved. Now, I have no doubt that all of us in here that are saved, we have desire for good habits. We want them in place. It's not necessarily a problem of a lack of motivation, but we have a sinful nature. You have a sinful nature that when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, you're not going to want to get up. You're not going to want to get up, and a thought's going to hit you. You have to read. Oh, I don't want to read. And if you're not careful, your mind will start searching for any way to get out of it, and you'll tell the Lord you're sorry on the way to work. We have a sin nature. So we have to put things in place that we can combat what we're struggling against to get good habits in place in our life. Again, we know we need good, strong devotion that's real, that's genuine. But it can be so difficult at times to actually make it a habit. So, the purpose of this is to try and help you, to give you practical tools in producing good habits in your life. Throughout Scripture, we see throughout Genesis to Revelation, the Lord awards those. He's pleased with those who are faithful, especially in the little things. So I hope to try and maybe you, the Lord can use this in your life to get those things out of your life that are hurting you and to try to get things into your life that will actually help you to grow spiritually and closer to the Lord. Good intentions are not enough. If you're a Christian, more than likely you have good intentions. They've been in place in your life for the last 5 years. You have every good intention of getting this right, getting this in place. It's always going to be tomorrow, next Monday, next year, the new year, at this time. And it just never comes about. That's because good intentions are never enough. That's not what makes the difference. What we need is good practice. Not just good intentions. So I want to give several things to try and help you with these good habits. And this might be a message, if you don't normally, you might want to take notes tonight. This is one, a lot of my sermons aren't necessarily, I mean, people do that. I'm great with that. But this is one that you can go back and look at and say, okay, how do I develop good habits? How do I put these things in place in my life? Now, I'm not going to discuss, let me bring this by way of introduction up, that I'm not going to discuss, but it will hurt you, and that is procrastination. All right? This one doesn't deal with procrastination, but make no mistake, from many verses, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you're going to procrastinate, listen, you've already lost. You have to set that aside and determine what the principles I'm giving out you're going to put in place now. Now, you can't procrastinate. So the areas, though, that I'm going to look at to try and strengthen you spiritually, to try and help you gain wisdom by virtue of you seeking the Lord and increasing your walk with Him, trying to get you in a place where you can battle temptation more successfully, is there's about five areas I want us to look at. Number one, we're going to look at the importance of simply making small changes. Number two, focusing on the system, not necessarily goals. Number three, the importance of how you see yourself. Number four, putting the process in place. And lastly, your environment. All right? It's going to be tying these five things together that I believe will be a key help in you putting in place very good habits in your life. Again, a lot of us desire to. We we'll try it, and we'll set new goals and new ambitions, and I want to do this even on the physical side, I want to do this on the spiritual side. You have every intention on doing it. You're not being a hypocrite when you say that, but the truth is a week or 2 weeks into it, it just doesn't stick. So Matthew chapter 13, the importance of small changes. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 31, Christ gave a short parable, a couple of verses here. He said, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Now, this again, I'm not going to get into the whole theme of the parable. I'm going to draw just one principle, even a sub-principle from the parable, and that is the idea of something small becoming great. How the Lord can take things that are so small that you won't think will amount to much, this just won't do it, yet it's the very key to change. It's the very key to a measure of greatness, to use the term of how big this bush would actually get of what it was, even to the size of that of a tree. So even with this, when it comes to your spiritual side, I'm not going to ask you to make major changes because I'd be setting you up for failure. All right? I'm going to ask you to make small changes. I mean, if you haven't read your Bible faithfully, let's say in 3 years or 4 years or 5 years or 8 months, I'm not going to ask you. I want you to start off tomorrow reading 20 pages a day. I'm not going to do that. I want you to start praying for an hour to 2 hours a day. That's not going to happen. Or if you have poor eating habits, I want you to throw away just all snacks, everything like that. Just eat vegetables. None of us would be successful at that. Many times those can be good goals, but it is a goal that is set up for failure. And many times when you fail in your habit, is because you get too ambitious with it without using wisdom when you go to establish a goal. And what you put in place is almost destined for failure the moment you start it. Our problem is we underestimate the power of small things and small changes in our life with how powerful they can actually be. So in looking to make a change in your life, don't start off in your excitement saying, I'm going to jump in and read 5 chapters a day. It just won't last. I'd read this once several years ago, and it was talking about the importance of 1% changing. And it gave different examples of 1% changing and the power behind it. And I do believe we are either growing or shrinking. We're either getting stronger or weaker. That's what's taking place. And the direction we are heading is all made up of whatever your habits are right now, not what your intentions are. Again, we are what our habits are. We can deceive ourselves into thinking that small things really are not going to have that big of an effect, but you would be wrong. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 says this. It says, because sentence against evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Or we can look in Galatians, how you reap what you sow, but you reap in a different season than what you sow. Both principles are going to apply when I'm talking about habits. Because the point of both of those examples I gave is this, is just because you don't see something immediately, you will come up with a wrong conclusion. And so when you start with small changes, you're not going to notice a difference immediately, and the problem's going to come in. You're going to make a wrong conclusion, and you're going to stop with that small change. But it's that small change, you have to give it time to grow into something grand, into something that can change you, that makes a difference in your life. And by the way, this applies both to good and small habits. You can start some really bad habits, spiritually, physically, whatever, and because you don't see it affecting you immediately, you keep it up. The day's coming for that habit as well, when you will reap the destruction of what that is producing. But because you don't see it immediately, you continue with it. Just like all of you that eat macaroni and cheese, the day's coming. You're going to regret that, every single one of you. It's wicked. And something's wrong with the Weaver girls. They are obsessed with macaroni and cheese. You guys all have to stop that. That's all I know. Let me try and give some examples. First, you start to eat unhealthy. And you know what? Initially, you don't even notice it at the scale. Give it time. Those unhealthy habits you will reap one day. Let me make it more practical. Dads, want you to listen to me. All right? You have young kids at home just starting off as a new dad. And all of a sudden, you are working more and more hours and less time with those children and with your wife. It begins to grow. And you know what? The family forgives you. We understand. Everything's fine. It's okay. You know, Johnny's only 4 years old. It's all right. And because they show the forgiveness and the grace, which I don't think is a bad thing, don't get me wrong, but just follow me here, it becomes a habit. And before you know it, little Johnny isn't four anymore. He's 14. He's 14. Now he's changing and trying to figure out how to be a man. And now, dads, and this is sad when you get to that place, the only influence you have in Johnny's life is authoritative. And that's it. You're done for. If the only influence you have is because you're dad and authority, you've already lost them. You've already lost them. You don't want your children listening to you because they have to. You want them listening to you because they want to. Because they see dad has some wisdom. Dad's close to the Lord. I need to listen to this. Remember, you reap in a different season than what you sow. This is very true for your habits, and it's very important when it comes to making small changes. Small changes. Our problem for both good and bad habits is that we don't see the fruit right away, and yet we fail to realize the process is actually already in place. So when it comes to the good habits, this is why we tend not to stick to the good habits. Because we don't see results immediately. You know, you decide, okay, I'm going to go to the gym for 3 days, and you don't see the results, and so you tend to lose motivation, and so you end up missing here and there, and before long, you just end up quitting. You reap in a different season than what you sow. Kind of like the illustration we've heard used over and over since the time I was a boy. You take an aircraft that's in the air and it's just off 1 degree. Let that plane continue flying for 6 hours. Let's see how far off course you actually are. If your life is off just in a small way and it's not corrected, after a while, the progress you make in small steps away from where you should be will all of a sudden become a great distance. Listen to me, parents. Let me come back to the parents for this one. This is why so many families don't understand when all of a sudden destruction hits. It wasn't because anything major was wrong in the family. That's not it. It was just small, incremental. Small, incremental. But before you know it, it created such a cavity that the day came when you finally reaped what has been sown. Preacher, don't worry about it. It's nothing. This is just small. It's minor. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about that. We got it. That's just small. I'm telling you, you need to worry about it. So it's about getting just small change, just that 1% better each day. The greatest example, and I gave this last time, is, and when I read this several years ago, I thought, what a great, great illustration. It's the illustration of what happened to the British cycling team that would compete in the Olympics and the Tour de France. From 1908, going all the way to just about 2008, 2006, right around that frame, they had won a total of one gold medal. That's it. Never won a Tour de France. They're basically, in the cycling world, the laughingstock of the cycling world. They hire a new coach right around 2003, I believe he came on board, if I remember right. The new coach comes on board in 2003, and he never made one major change, not one. But he made a ton of small changes. He changed the seat. He changed how they washed their hands. He changed what they wore. He made a series of small adjustments with his coaching. Well, what happened to that cycling team it's one of the greatest stories in all of sports. 5 years after he took over, 2008 comes. They won 60% of the gold medals in cycling after only winning one since 1908. 4 years later, they would dominate again, setting 9 Olympic records and 7 world records in the following Olympics. During this stretch, they would win the Tour de France 6 times. The guy just made small changes. That's all he did. 5 years into it, the cycling team reaped what was sown. Small changes make a difference in your life. So when looking to make changes now, I've got to get better, I've got to get more discipline, it starts with making small changes and staying faithful to it. Start off small. And don't listen to the lies that are going to come. You're not seeing any change, you're not seeing anything. You're going to read your Bible faithfully, you're going to start off with a small change, and in 1 month you're going to say, you know what, I just don't feel any different. Nope. Just stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful. There's change occurring that you're not even recognizing yet. A perfect illustration is the ice cube. Let's say it's 26 degrees in our auditorium right now. 26 degrees. And we got the ice cube sitting here. Is it going to melt? Let's say we move it up to 27 degrees. Is it going to melt? Nope. 28? Is it going to melt? You're not going to notice one thing different about that ice cube. 29, nothing. 30, you will notice nothing. 31, you're still going to notice nothing. Hopefully you don't quit at 31. Hope you don't say, listen, this is a waste of time. We've done this now 5 times. There's zero change in this ice cube. Zero change. This is doing nothing. But if you go to 32, guess what? We're all going to start to notice a change. You crossed, what happened? You crossed a threshold. But to get to 32, you had to go through 27. You had to go through 28. You had to go through 29. You had to go through 30. You had to go through 31. Our problem is we stop in our lives spiritually at 27 or 28 or 29 thinking there's no difference. You're wrong. A threshold is coming, and it is making changes. That ice cube is getting closer and closer and closer and closer to when all of a sudden it is going to change. Number 2. This one will only take a second. Only a few of these take longer. The first one was one of them. Number 2. This one we get mixed up, and this also causes that you focus on your system for your habits, not the goal. All right. You have to set goals. Make no mistake about it. I am huge. It's an absolute necessity to set goals. You aim at nothing. You hit it every time. You have to know where you're going. You set realistic goals for yourself of what is achievable. So you set those goals spiritually of where you want to be. And so you get those set. And we're usually pretty good about that. Our problem is once we set the goals, which is good and right, we tend to focus simply on the goal and not the process that it's going to take to get you to that goal. And if your focus isn't on the process, I'm telling you, you're never going to get to the goal. And then you get discouraged and you stop. You focus on the system. You focus on the method to get you there. And again, this works across the board. Spiritually, whatever, putting things in place. I knew several months ago, going before Kenya, I'm like, when we had the church clean up, I could hardly bend over to pick anything up. I was so out of shape. I'm like, this is changing. This has to change before Kenya. Just small little things to put in place. Your habits, listen, are the system that gets you to the goal. Without the right habits, without that right process, you will never get to the goal. I don't care what your intentions are. I don't care what your motivation is. You have to have practical things in place habitually in your life to get to the goal, or it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen by reading memes and getting all that motivation up. Yay for that. But I'm telling you, unless the discipline's in place where small habits get you to the goal, it's never going to happen. You're going to be reading the same memes 5 years from now. Number three, this one's important. Change how you see yourself. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Who can quote that? That's right. And that's in the present tense. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. I am a new creature in Christ. Seeing myself that way is incredibly important. Especially true when you're trying to put habits in place to change your life. And how you visualize, how you see yourself. We have to see ourselves as who we are when we trusted Christ. We are a new creature in Christ. We want the outcome. We need a process to get us there. And seeing ourselves as that new creature, I'm telling you, this is a major key. It'll help you stay true to the process in place to get there. Here's an illustration that I give to demonstrate this. I think I'll actually give a couple. You take two people. All right, I'm going to have Levi and Ryan, stand up here. Both these guys just quit smoking. Yay! Go stand up here and face that way. All right? And now they both quit. All right? They both used to smoke like a pack a day. They're just horrible with it. They followed Dad's example. It's been bad. All right? Now, they both quit, let's say, 2 weeks ago. All right? And I go to Levi, and I ask Levi, and I don't know. I say, hey, Levi. Hey, would you like a cigarette? And he says to me, no, I'm trying to quit. All right, good. So he says, he turns it down. I'm glad about that. I go to Ryan. I ask him the same thing. Hey, Ryan, you want this cigarette? And he says, no, I'm no longer a smoker. Which one of the two was more likely to succeed? The one who changed how he viewed himself. It makes a difference. If you want to become better at reading, see yourself as a reader. If you want to become better at prayer, see yourself as a man or woman of prayer. We're a new creature. You guys can sit down. Thank you. Do not smoke ever in your life. Just like the person who's always late. I guarantee you that person views himself as somebody who's just always late. And until that changes, that habit will never change. So in putting new habits in place, understand this, Christian, you are a new creature in Christ. So your goal, again, is not to read a book a month. Your goal is to become a reader. Your goal isn't even to pray for an hour a day. Your goal is to be a man or woman of prayer. Again, this will help you stay true to the process. It affects how you put things in place in your life. It's determining, this is the person God has called me to be. This is the person God has required me to be. And then you put those small things in place to get there. So now, let's get into the process. Very practical here. So I'm trying to give you the different guidelines to guide this section right here. So these last two are very important. The process and then the environment you set up for the process to work. So you figure out what needs to change or what habit needs to be in place in your life. What, even if something needs to be a new thing added, something removed. So let's stay with one thing I think is just crucial to our Christian walk, and that is genuine, strong faithfulness to your devotions. So let's build a process for that so that we're faithful to it. The key for the process I'm going to stress throughout is you have to be, listen to me, you have to be very, very, very specific. Okay? It is not saying, you know what? I heard this tonight, Pastor. In the morning, I'm going to start reading. And it's true. You're not lying to me. But I will tell you this. By what you told me, more than likely, you're not going to start reading. Why? Not because your heart doesn't desire it. You're not specific enough. You're a creature of habit. When you wake up in the morning, I am telling you, your habits are going to kick in. It's what guides your decisions every day, whether you realize it or not. You got to affect that. This was illustrated greatly by a program. It was actually an experiment that this place did. 248 people were brought in for this experiment. Fascinating what they did. They divided the 258 people into a total of three groups is what it ended up being. Each group had the identical goal. Goals identical for all three groups. Okay, follow this. This is interesting. But each, even though they have the same goal, each group was given a different level of instruction to follow how to get there. All right. So each group knew this is the goal. This is where we all got to get. But what they didn't know, each group, again, had just a different level of instruction of how to do it. Here is the different level of instruction that was given. The first group was asked to track how often they exercised. And this was an exercise experiment. I don't think I said that. The second group was asked to track, and they were given material to read on the benefits of exercise and had to read it. So the one, you got to get to this is where we want you to exercise. By this point in time, this much exercise needs to be in place for your group. Have at it. Second group, you have that. Plus, we're giving you all this motivational material to read on it, the benefits of it, what it's going to do for you, and you have to read it. Okay, third group. The third group had the same as the others, but they had to formulate a plan, and it had to be a specific plan. They had to complete the following sentence. During the next week, I will partake in 20 minutes of exercise at this exact time each day at this exact place. That had to be in place. Here was the results. The percentage of those in the first two groups that obtained the goal was identical. 35% got there. The reading material of motivation made no difference. 35% got there. The group that had to design a specific plan, 91% of them achieved the goal. 91%. So what I'm telling you, to change a habit, to add a habit, you have to get very, very specific. Because so often you're right, your heart's right, Lord, I'm going to start tomorrow. You're not specific enough. You're a creature of habit. Again, you might say, I'm going to eat better and mean it. I'm going to start praying and mean it, read my Bible and mean it. But unless a specific plan's in place, you are more than likely going to be on the larger percentage of people who fail and never reach the goal. Most of us need a specific plan in place to get there. It's not motivation that's lacking. It's clarity. So, based on this, what you do is you need to write down specifically, let's stay with reading Bible and prayer. What you have to do is you have to analyze, look at your own life. You have to see what are my current habits. From the time the alarm goes off right now, what does my time look like before I leave the house? What is it that I do? What is my process? Write that out. I get up. Alarm goes off, I go to the bathroom, I'll go to the shower, I'll make coffee. Whatever it is, you just get specific with it. All right? Because it's within that framework that you're going to add a new habit in there. Okay? Write down what your current habits are. And then let's say you determine, okay, it's at this point when I get up, I'll go to the restroom, I'll head downstairs and I'll get coffee. All right, now right there, let's say that's yours. Right there, that's what you're going to add. You're going to write down, at that specific time, the moment I pour my coffee, I will read and pray at that time. Right there, that's when it's going to happen. All right, right then and there. And then know what else you're going to do? Before you go to bed that night, you're going to take your Bible and guess where it's going to go for that night? It's going right by that coffee pot. It's not easy introducing a new habit. We have to put things in place that guide it for us, that help us when you're there. You have to be very specific. So you look at what you're currently doing, what your current habits are, and then you look to introduce within those habits. Be specific. After I brush my teeth, that's when I'm going to do it. Then you put your right there by your sink where your toothbrush is. You have your Bible right there. And then, by the way, you don't argue with yourself when it's time for it. Just do it. Grab it and do it. Don't argue with yourself. You have to, if you're going to introduce a new habit, the most successful people always, always, always introduce a new habit associate it with a current habit. So that's what you need to do. All right? Now, let's go on to lastly the environment and I'll be done. Because the environment is important. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Anybody can quote that? Romans 13, 14. Make no... That's right. All right? So this is where this verse comes in now. To make no provision for your flesh. Your environment is very important. Let's put it this way. Those who appear to be the most disciplined, all right, that can be misleading, all right? Usually what they're good at, which is great, isn't that they're the most disciplined and they can fight off temptation. They simply put themselves in a place where they don't have to battle the temptation. This is where the key to success comes in. It's not that they're so great and disciplined that they can handle all the temptation. No, we can't. It's they put themselves in a place where they don't have the battle to begin with. This is where your environment comes in. In putting things in place so that you're not providing for the lust of the flesh. In other words, let's make it practical. If you decide you're going to fast every Tuesday, don't take your wife out to the steakhouse and try and fast. You're introducing a battle that you should not be having. Go sit at the library all day, all right? Put things in place that aren't going to hinder what you're trying to accomplish. That's why, that's part of it in trying to help you, setting your Bible next to the coffee pot example that I gave. And I'm serious about that. You do just that. When you figure out what your habits are, wherever place you introduce it, this is what I'm going to introduce, I'm going to write that down. At this point in time, this is when I'm going to do it. You have your Bible there and ready. Because in the morning, if you don't do that, listen, because you're such a creature of habit, and it might not even be intentional at all. You're just going to go right on about your habits. That's there to remind you. Oh, I'm done preaching. Look at that. Yeah. Let me give you a true stat here of how powerful your environment is in making change in your life. Let's go to the Vietnam War. Somewhere between 15 and 20% of all Vietnam vets that served in country were hooked on heroin. 15 to 20% hooked on heroin. 35% tried it while they were in country. But this is what's fascinating. When they got back, only 5% got re-addicted or stayed with it. Only 5%. That's it. Of the 100% that got addicted, only 5% stayed addicted when they returned to the state. What changed? The environment changed. This is why multitudes who head into a rehabilitation program fail. It's simply because many times they go right back to the same environment. So disciplined people are those who put themselves in a place where we don't have to use discipline. So create an environment where it makes it easier for you to be disciplined. For example, if you have trouble with too much time on your phone, you know, I've got to change that. When you get ready to go to bed at night, don't put your phone in your room. It'll be just fine in another room. But my alarm clock's on it. Go to Walmart tonight and buy a $4 real alarm clock like we used to use. That bouncing around on the table thing. All right? Because if it's just sitting there and that's your problem, unless you change your environment, you're going to lose that battle. When it's time for your Bible and reading, have your phone in another room. Don't just shut it off and put it in your pocket. You're making provision for your flesh and you know it. So be specific in your plan and then create an environment that's conducive to it, not a hindrance to it. Have the right environment. If you got a computer at home, don't do it near a computer. Don't do it by something else. Because there's a spiritual battle in place. There's things going to come in place to try and stop you from creating this habit. So make sure you also, for the environment, have it in a place that is preferably, or hopefully, uninterrupted. So if you got small kids, I know it's a bummer, but you need this. You got to do it before they get up. And if they do get up, just tell them, head right back to your room. Head right back. When I'm finished here, I'll get to you. All right? And then you have an hour and 2 hours in your Bible time. So have it in an area that is uninterrupted without anything that has the potential to distract you from what you're trying to do. Create a conducive environment for it. Listen, we are creatures of habit. We are, this is who we are. Make small change. So let's say you haven't been faithful to your devotion. You determine, all right, I'm going to be faithful every day. And if you haven't been reading at all, start off small. I'm going to start off with a chapter or two chapters a day. One or two chapters. Something that's manageable. I'm going to pray for 10 minutes when I'm done. Get faithful to it. Put it in place. Write down. Don't say in the morning. Again, be specific with how you're going to do this. And then you look at yourself. You know what? I'm a new creature in Christ. I am going to be a person who reads, who prays. See yourself as the one. See yourself as that person God's called you to be. Put that process in place and create the right environment. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, this was just a lesson of practical help, but I do want to cover something very spiritual right now before I go, and that is this. If you're to die right now, are you certain that heaven is your home? Do you know without a doubt that if you were to die, your soul was to depart your body, that heaven is your home? The entire reason why God became a man 2,000 years ago was so that you could know for certain that you have that heaven is your home, that you will be with God, and that separated from him for an eternity. because judgment is coming. We're all guilty. The whole reason Jesus Christ came was to take your place in judgment, was to take all of your sin as if he committed your iniquity, and to die in your place to take your judgment, and then he offers you his perfect life. This salvation is a gift. Is there anyone here that say, Pastor, listen, right now I hear you. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen to me, Pastor. Please pray for me. I don't know. Or I'm concerned I would go to hell. If that's you, would you just raise your hand where I could see it? Then you can let me acknowledge it. You can put it back down. I see a couple of small children is all I'm seeing. If you put your hand up, I missed it. I would need you to do it again. All right. Christian, the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Why don't you come and pray? Father in heaven, bless this invitation time. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Page 536, if you need to come and pray, come and pray.